You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about happiness. How happy are you? And I think in order to define how happy we are, we have to first figure out what does happiness mean to us. I think a lot of times we define happiness in a certain way, a certain shape, in a certain form, and because of the way we define it, we either find it or we don't. You know, a lot of times we feel like happiness is elusive. Like happiness is something that only a few people ever find. Like the only people that get happiness are those lucky, lucky few that only a few people are, and the rest of us will just be, you know, damned to eternity with no happiness. And we have to wonder, how do we make happiness happen in our life? And I think it begins with certain quiz questions that I will be providing you tonight for you to actually ask yourself some really deep, cool questions about how you feel about your happiness quotient. And I think the first thing we want to talk about and the first question in the Perspectives quiz that I will be dishing out to you tonight is, how do you feel about the rain? How do you feel about the rain? Do you love the rain? Do you hate the rain? Does the rain make you want to freak out? Does the rain make you happy? Does it calm you down? Does it relax you? Is it something that you like? Is it a portion of life that you look at and you go, oh wow, this is nice, it's raining? Or is it more the opposite? Oh my God, I hate the rain. I absolutely hate the rain. And I asked some people on Facebook here just a few minutes ago what they thought about rain. And I got everything from rain is awesome and it helps me relax and it allows me to sleep and it's an awesome thing. And then I've gotten other people that said it's awful. It causes floods, it causes disease, and you know, it destroys things. And I think it depends on the way that we look at stuff. But I think that simple question takes us into the fact of what is happiness. I think that simple question makes it understandable for us to figure out, where am I in my thought process? How have my past issues hold me back? And then how do my considerations and my thoughts either make me feel good about something, make me feel comfortable, make me feel happy, or on the other hand, make me feel scared, lesser than, or perhaps, you know, depressed? And I think that when I was younger and I was going through a situation where I felt depression or I felt anxiety, I had a tendency of not liking the rain whatsoever. Like, I had a problem with it. Like, every time it would rain, I'd be like, oh God, not this again. Not this again. I mean, really? Are we going to have to do rain again? Is this what we're doing today? This is unbelievable. You know, I can't believe this is going to ruin everything. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to open up just a little bit more on the show because I think that it's a personal thing that everybody needs to know. The only time that I don't like the rain that much is really one time in my life. And the only time that is when I'm on vacation and it's beach time and every single day has been rain. I mean, it's like, why did I go? It's like I came in hurricane season. I mean, the last thing I want to do is be in hurricane season on an island when I'm trying to go swimming. And I think that's the only time in life that I don't really like the rain. That's the only time in life that I have a problem with it. But besides that, I actually love it. I mean, when it comes to hanging out in my office, when I'm working, when it comes to being in studio here, it's kind of nice to have rain. I mean, I don't mind it cooling things off. And I think for most of us, we have a tendency of seeing it that way, except for maybe if we're not really feeling as good as we should. And I know for a lot of people out there that suffer from depression, rain does not help with depression. Rain has never helped with depression. It never really wakes you up. It only makes you feel tired and sleepy, and you just want to go back to bed. And I understand that. I get it. But, you know, we have to sit there and figure out, why is it internally that I have a problem with the rain? And I think it begins from, first off, with our childhood, what the rain means to us as a kid. But I think also, how do our parents, how did they see the rain? Were they cheerful? Were they happy? Or was it more of a non-pleasant type experience? Did you have too many sports activities and outside activities like hampered because you had rain? Did you feel like you were in some sort of bad situation that could have caused you death by rain? And let me give an example about this. There are a few people out there that are scared of water. There are a few people out there scared of storms. And the reason for this is they were either caught in a really bad storm and they could have drowned, or they saw family members get hurt, or they were in a tornado, they're in a hurricane, something that caused damage and water issues. They could have been in a monsoon. You know, it's just like the idea of people with fire. People don't realize that I have clients come in all the time to get therapy for fire, wind, rain, whatever. Wind is a big thing, too, because if somebody's been in a hurricane or a tornado, it scares the crap out of them. I mean, this isn't normal wind. You know, in that situation, this isn't normal rain. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that have gone through this. But if you haven't, and you haven't gone through something that's been traumatic, you have to sit there and realize and think about, why is it that you hate the rain? And you have to think about that, because I think that defines our happiness. Because I've realized that the more happier I become, the happier I am, the more I appreciate the rain, the more I appreciate small things in life, the more that these things kind of complement my life instead of take away. And I find the richness within it that I usually wouldn't have found. It's like I look at it from a different eyes. Like I'm looking at it from a perspective of, wow, this is really amazing. This is an awesome thing. This is an amazing, beautiful thing. And I want to ask the second question, because I think the second question really defines also how happy we are. How much of news, how much of the news do you watch in a given day? How much news do you intake on a given day? And the reason why I ask that question is depends on how much news you watch really depends on your happiness. So vice versa, think about it. Your happiness depends on how much news you watch. And it depends on the least amount of news you watch. I don't have one client right now that comes in here and watches news all day long who are happy. I don't have one client come into my office who watch and listen to the news 24/7 who are happy and feeling good about themselves. Actually, quite the contrary. I actually hear most of my clients tell me about the situations in their life and how they're constantly watching the news and they get scared and they get paranoid and they get upset with what's happening. And the biggest deal is that they just feel like there's nothing they can do about it. Like your hands are tied. Like I can't go out there and fight ISIS. Just me out there with my, you know, my Rambo outfit on. That's probably not going to work. I mean, I don't even know if they would talk to a woman, even besides the fact they're trying to fight ISIS. But the thing about it, we see these awful things happen every day on the news, and we can't do anything about it. I mean, you and the couch can't go save people in Africa. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we feel like all these bad things are happening. The news rarely reports anything good because, as they say, if it bleeds, it leads. And if it bleeds, it leads, that means that everything they're reporting is sad. It's death and dismemberment. And if it's death and dismemberment that we're watching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we got a problem. We got a big problem. And I have friends that are reporters on Fox and NBC and ABC, and they tell me about their stresses in their life, and they tell me about how they're just not that happy and how they're trying to find a stone or some sort of a crystal that'll ward off negative energy. And I said, well, the problem is that you're reporting all this negative stuff every single day. It's going to bound to get to you. And at least they're reporting it and doing something. For the majority of us, we're just listening to it over and over again in a loop, in a constant loop. And have you ever been to a restaurant where you're having a really great time? Life is good. You're upbeat. Life is happy. Things are going well. And they have that CNN or the CNBC ticker tape going 24/7. And it's about how there was a shooting at a school and how some reporters got shot down. Think about it. And now they found the grisly video of the person that killed them. It's like this stuff, it's not good for the psyche. And the problem with this is that we get so inundated into hearing what's happening that we really miss out on what's really happening. And I want to explain that a little bit later, because what I mean by what really happening is that there's all this amazing stuff going on around you. But when we allow ourselves to get stuck in the muck and yuck of all the negative intake that we take in a day, we forget who we are. We not only forget who we are, but we get so wrapped up in this negativity that we don't know what to do. The next thing is that we start feeling that our life is small because there's nothing we can do to change these people's problems, so we must not be very powerful at all. You know, even on the next step, you sit there and you watch this stuff over and over and over again, and nothing's ever changing. The wars are still happening. The people are still dying. And it makes you begin to wonder, you know, what's the reason for life? And I think we start forgetting that we have a purpose. And our purpose is more than watching the news and more than getting down on ourselves. And our purpose is more than watching reality shows, FYI. It's about doing something with our life. And I think that this negative content gets in the way of our purpose. It gets in the way of us figuring out who we truly are. So stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking more about how happy we are, how to define your happiness. First off, what is happiness? And better yet, some quiz questions from Ashley Burgess, your hostess with the mostest on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, to figure out exactly, are you happy and how happy are you? Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, this time in, well, two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about happiness. How happy are you? And you know, we have to take some quiz questions. You have to take a perspectives quiz real quick to define that, because I think that in order to understand how happy you are, we have to define it with some questions. And this isn't Red Book questions, and this isn't Cosmo questions. This is perspectives questions. So the first question I asked you earlier was, do you like the rain? Yes or no? And that to me is a big sign if you are a very happy person, or if you are holding on by a string. Because a lot of times when we are depressed or we're stressed out, and more of it's depression, we have a tendency of seeing the rain as a big problem. We see the rain as a bully that's like keeping us inside, and we see the rain as somebody that, I don't know, it just kind of makes us feel like we should cry. You know, for others of us who have embraced the rain, we love it. We see rain, we love rain, it's an amazing thing, especially when there's a drought, but better yet, it's just a change in the patterns of the weather that makes us enjoy it. I love the smell of rain. I love that smell. It's clean, it's fresh, and it just seems to wash away issues that we have. And the second question that I had was, do you watch news a lot? How much news do you watch? And for a lot of you out there, if you're watching the news all day long, you're not very happy. I can tell you that straight up. You are not honestly happy at all. And I know that some of you say, it doesn't get to me. I don't let this get to me. It doesn't get to me. Well, you know what? It does get to you. You can only see war and death and things blowing up and animals dying only so much before it starts creeping into your headset, where all you can think about is this negative content. And what I'm saying is this, if animals are dying and people are like beating people up in the streets and all this stuff's going down, you know what? It's not a very happy place to be at. And it begins to paint a picture that the world is a really scary, toxic death zone. It's like the Darth Vader, dun dun dun, you know, it's like the, what the heck is this? You know, we're living on some sort of crazy death planet where everybody's killing everybody, every animal's dying, there's animal cruelty everywhere, there's scientific testing on us, and we can't even trust our food because the GMOs and all our food's going to kill us anyway. What am I supposed to do? And between that, their heroin, use of heroin has gone up, what, 100%? You know, everybody talks about how it ties back to war and all that kind of stuff. So then there you go again. Well, what is war about? We're still in war. We're still warring with these people. We still got these overlords that are trying to kill everybody. You have people that still want to hijack and terrorism. You got all these issues. And to me, listening to that on the radio or listening to that on TV scares the bejesus out of me. And I don't want to hear that 24/7. When I walk into a restaurant, the last thing I want to see is that NBC or CNN ticker tape showing me all the death and dismemberment that's taken place that day. Seriously. That's a problem for me. I don't sit there and watch that because I know that if I watch that, I'm going to feel like I have no power. No power. I'll have no hand. No hand. I get no hand because you know what? I can't even get myself off that bar stool at the bar from stop watching that because it stressed me out so bad. I mean, how many of you listening right now watch the news more than 2 to 5 hours a day and you're in a constant state of either stress or rage? And how many of you are watching or listening on the radio, listening to fear-based comments and fear-based news reporting where you feel as though you can't trust anybody? And I'm not saying that everybody's trustworthy, and I'm definitely not saying that our government's doing everything right and the White House is perfect and everybody involved is just, oh, they're little angels with little wings on. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that you have the ability to control how you react, but better yet, you have the ability to control what content you allow into your head. Because if you allow certain content into that head, it's like you have the subconscious is here and you got all this stuff going on and you allow all these things in there and your whole day is going by and you're watching all this terrible, terrible stuff and you're like, oh my gosh, this day is awful. It couldn't be any worse. Did you hear what they did to those poor people in Iraq? Did you hear what they did to those poor people in wherever? What's going on? What's happening here? And you're over there saying, I don't have any way, shape, or form of helping those people. And to me, the happiest people in the world are the people that don't watch really any news. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be educated, because I like that's always the argument with people. Well, I have to be educated. I have to have education. What am I going to do? If I don't see the news, I'm not going to have any education. I'm not going to know anything. Is that true? See, because I think that you can get the news from a newspaper. Okay. I don't know about you, but that's why they created a newspaper, is that you read it and it's got news in it, right? And the cool thing is that you got all these different newspapers from all over the world. So let's just say that you have this newspaper from the New York Times. Let's say that you have this newspaper from XYZ, okay? And you have all these different types of newspapers. Maybe you have like a London Press and you have all this stuff. And you can compare and contrast what makes sense and what's real and what's not. On the TV, what happens on TV is you're looking at that TV and it's the same news over and over again. And it's the same really sad, depressing, nothing's gonna work out news. And I'm not saying that it's supposed to be happy. I get bad things happen, but why should we surround ourselves with it every single second of our day? What does it do for us? And the first thing that I always ask all my clients to do is to slow down on news intake. I know a lot of you are addicted to it. You're highly addicted to it. It's like your form of crack cocaine. You're over there watching this and, oh my God. Oh no, what's going to happen next? And I actually have some clients that I would have to go to their house because they couldn't leave the house. And they had full-time jobs. They would call in and make up all kinds of excuses for the reasons why they couldn't make it. I can't come into work today because I XYZ. I think I have the Asian flu. I don't know what's going on. And I would come and see them, and you know what it was? It was watching the news. It got them all hopped up. They got all stressed out. They're even scared to get in the car because they think they're going to get carjacked from the way from their place to wherever they had to go in suburbia USA. And that's what I'm saying is that it makes people feel as though they don't have an ability to control anything. It makes people believe that they don't have the ability or power to do anything and that they are just there and something's going to happen to them, but they can't change it. They can't stop it. They can't do anything about it. And I've been there before, and I wrote my first book, and one of the chapters was that it was during my first book was a while back, and it was right after September 11th. And I remember watching the news over and over and over and over and over again, all day, all night. And I did a scientific experiment where I watched the news for 24 hours straight. And I kept that news on the couch the whole time because I wanted to see what was going to happen. And you know what? It wasn't a good scene. It was depressing. And you know what? I felt as if our world was falling apart. I felt as if that we actually were all going to die. And then nothing good was going to come out of that. And these crazy hijacker people that killed all these people are just going to go mayhem in the street. And all this is going to happen. And this is going to be the end of the world as we know it. And I document that in my first book, and I really think that you should check this out, because if anybody's listened to the news lately over and over again, about something that's really, really sad, like either like a bombing or a shooting, it is really overwhelming and stressful. And the problem is that we have nothing we can do about it. We feel as though our hands are tied. We feel as though our hands are tied and there's nothing we can do and the best of our life is behind us. And so I really behoove you to really slow down on the intake, because I think your happiness level is going to go shooting up as high as it possibly can with the less news that you're intaking. Because that's a tendency that we have, is we don't realize how impactful what we see and what we watch is. If I sit here and watch a bunch of killer films all the time about people killing people and mass murders and all this stuff, I'm probably going to change my feelings about life. I'm probably going to see things differently than I see them now, because what we intake in our subconscious is beyond important, because we don't realize we actually keep everything in our mind. You can't just get rid of it. It doesn't just go away. There's only, yeah, you can take pills to try to forget things, but it's always going to be there. Yes, you can dull your memory with alcohol, but it's still always going to be there. And the more you watch it, the more it takes over your life. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking more about your happiness quotient. And better yet, do you look to the sky or do you look down more? Think about it. How much are you looking up and how much are you looking down? So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time and, well, two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about how happy are you? And when we define happiness, we have to ask ourselves questions. And I've come up with a perspectives quiz here. And the first question was, how do you like the rain? Do you like the rain? Do you hate the rain? Why? The second one was, do you watch a lot of news? How much news do you watch in a day? And I found out that people that watch more news have a tendency of being more depressed. And the reason why I can say that is that I'm a life coach and a therapist. I have clients that come in all the time that can't see the forest through the trees because they're so depressed. They're unhappy. They're unhappy because, you know what? This world is a bad place, they think. I mean, because think about it. What does the news sell you? And I'm not saying that all news is bad, right? But what does the news have a tendency of selling you, right? It sells you on the fact that this is a scary place and that bad things happen to good people. Okay. It sells you on that this can be a very scary place and that it's not a good place to raise kids, right? And we have a tendency of thinking, oh, I have to be a helicopter mom or helicopter dad, because what happens to Junior if I let Junior, you know, walk to school? And you know, it's funny, because these things like walking to school, I think, is a rite of passage. Not for kids that obviously live 10 miles away. I'm talking about kids that live within a certain area of the school where it's convenient for them to walk. It's like we're taking away their right to be a kid. Because how many people get abducted in 1 year? And it could have been XYZ number. It could be 100 in the whole country in 1 year. But those 100, we hear about so much that it scares the heck out of us to let our kids walk to school. So instead, the kid doesn't get this experience of life. Instead, the kid gets this experience of mom and dad are overbearing. I can't do anything on my own. And I think it also takes away from being raised. I think it takes away from our childhood. I mean, I know when I was a kid, there was all these like stranger danger and don't go home with a stranger. And you, if a person come up to you and says that their parents wanted you to ride home with them, then they had to know some sort of code word. Remember the code word, the stranger danger? And it's like, I mean, I would have loved to, and I look back at it, and some of my friends allow their kids to walk home from school, and they do all this stuff now, and these kids are well-rounded individuals. And I'm not saying that bad things don't happen sometimes, but I think that when we surround ourselves with negative content based on if it bleeds, it leads, we are constantly going to hear the worst of the worst all the time. We're going to think that everything is awful, that the world is falling apart, that our world is falling to hell in a handbasket, and that life's not worth living, because we might as well go build a bomb shelter underground, get a bunch of food and necessities. They've had how many shows based on this, and wait it out to the end of times. No, that's not what I plan on doing. No, I don't plan on ever doing that. And I have fallen for conspiracy theories before. And I'm not saying that all of them aren't true, and I'm not saying that any of them are true, and I'm not saying anything about any of their truth right now. We can do several shows on that. We could do a whole year on conspiracy theories. But, you know, I was just talking to a few folks here in the studio, and they were saying, you know, hey, they got into those conspiracy theories a lot, and it got them bummed out. You see what I'm saying? Like, it becomes interesting. Like, I remember they had a bunch of them on that Shady Hook with that shooting with the school. And I remember looking at a lot of that. And I've never really been a person that looks at a lot of that. And at first it was interesting, but then it just kind of got you down. And I am not going to clutter my brain with stuff that I think is maybe some small truth and combined with a lot of other things. And between you personally, I do think that people think the government is smarter than it is to manufacture this whole scenario, to create this from the ground up. I don't really think anybody could pull something like that off, except for maybe in Hollywood. And I think we have to sit back there and look what we intake. And the next question that I want to ask you is, do you look at the sky or do you look at the ground more? Do you look at the sky or do you look at the ground more? Which one are you looking at more? And everybody I know that has a tendency of looking at the ground has usually less happiness, more depression, more stress, but better yet, more social anxiety. Right? Because it's easier to look at the ground, but better yet, how many of you are looking at your cell phone instead of the sky? How many of you go into an event, go into a restaurant, go into a place, and instead of looking around and seeing if your friends are there or whatever's going on, you got your head in the phone because you're too stressed out and you don't want to look crazy, so you literally are looking at your phone as you're walking. I've seen people almost fall down. I've seen people almost get hit by cars. I've seen people almost run into women with large plates of food on the fact that they're looking at their phone. Now, why they're looking at their phone? Why are you looking at your phone? Your phone hasn't changed in the last, I don't know how long, but y'all are looking at it like it's freaking, like, I don't know, like some sort of charm from the Martians, from, you know, some sort of charm from UFOs that's supposed to, you know, give us a secondary life. You're over there looking at it like there's something amazing about it, like there's some sort of, like, tunnel into another world that's inside that phone. But in reality, like, how many of you don't even look at the sky? How many of you don't see the clouds? I mean, I see clouds all the time, and I see shapes, and, like, and I see things, and I think it's really cool, and I look at the sun, and I think it's really amazing. And in the morning, I'll really do a lot of sun gazing, and I'll look at stuff, and I appreciate it so much. How many of you, like, smell the roses? Or how many of you just walk by it? And I think the more you look up, the less you look down, the happier you are. The more you look up, the less you look down, the happier you are. It's that simple. Think about it. It's like if you're looking in the mirror and you're frowning and you're really upset, you're going to continue to frown. But if you look in that mirror and you're like, yeah, I'm smiling, I'm going to look at this smile until I believe it, guess what happens? Eventually, you believe it and you're happy. I talked about that in the 10-day challenge to live your true life. All you have to do is put a smile on and look at it for over a minute. And no, you don't have to worry about if you look stupid or not. I've had people ask that question. My God. I mean, I don't think there's people watching you in your mirror, is there? Go to the mirror in the bathroom. Turn on the light. Look in there. Look inside of the vanity mirror. Look at yourself and smile. And do it for a while. And eventually, guess what? You're going to like it. And you know what else? You're going to continue to smile. You're going to be happy. You're going to be healthy. It's the same as if you're looking down at your feet. I'm sure that you have anxiety, and that's one of the reasons why. But take a step and look around once in a while. You just might like what you see. And if you slow down on your intake of news and negative, impactful stories that make you feel scared, that you don't have any options, that your life is falling apart, that things aren't working out, that is something that you want to sit there and think about. That's something that you want to probably limit. Those are things in your life that you're probably like, you know what? I don't know what's going on. And I'll tell you one thing. When you are looking at that media and content so much, you're losing out on a lot of your life, and you're actually probably wondering where the time's gone. A lot of times when I hang out with somebody that's really not that good for me, I start losing a sense of time. And it goes by so fast. And the reason why I say that you lose time is that you don't really remember any of those times, and it kind of all balls up into one kind of image. It's like on the other flip side, it's like you, when times are not really as fun as they should be, how much does the camera out? I mean, think about it. The last really great time you had in your life, I bet that you forgot to even take a photo. And if you did, it was the last minute and it was like, oh, crap. Everybody get together. Let's take a photo. Come on. We got to take a photo. But for the most part, you didn't have that, you know, you didn't have the iPhone in your hand waiting to take a bunch of selfies when you were having a great time. Because guess what? It was more than that. And think about it. When was the last time you got caught in the rain and it made for a really brilliant story? When was the last time you got caught in the rain and it made for an amazing story? And I remember the last time I got caught in the rain, it was like torrential rain. It must have rained like 20-something inches. It was absolutely insane. And it was like pouring out from downspouts as I'm walking through. I'm getting totally drenched. It was so funny. And at first I was like, this is BS, man. I can't believe this is happening. This is awful. Why is this happening to me? I have to walk another mile. I am totally drenched. And all of a sudden, after I just let all that stupid human anger go, and I realized that it was actually quite comical and that there was no way I could be any wetter. Like, I was totally drenched and it didn't really matter. And that's when I started singing in the rain. And I started like jumping around like in all those videos from like, I think it was Kelly and singing in the rain. And I was like, singing in the rain, what a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. And I was doing that. And everybody with me started doing that too, and it got really, really fun. Had it not rained, it wouldn't have been that interesting. None of that would have happened. We wouldn't have been completely drenched in laughing about it, and it wouldn't be that interesting. And it definitely wouldn't have been an adventure. And I think that we have to look at life like that, and the more you look at life like that, the more you embrace it. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about happiness. How happy are you? And I've devised a quiz here with several questions to define your happiness level. I know. It's not a quiz from Harper's Bazaar. It's not a quiz from Red Book. Sorry. Sincerity and salutations. It is a quiz from Perspectives. And, you know, the first part of it is like to ask about how do you feel about the rain? Do you like the rain? Do you not like the rain? The second quiz question, how much of the day do you spend watching the news? How much of the day do you spend watching the news? You know, if it bleeds, it leads. So if you're watching this on a constant basis, you're probably not in a very good mood. You know, the next question that I want to ask you was the concept of, do you look at the sky or do you look at the ground more? Do you look at the sky or do you look at the ground more? And I think that anybody that's dealing with looking at the ground more than the sky is dealing with not only anxiety, but stress. And, you know, I used to be one of those people that looked down a lot. And I realized there was no reason to really look down. I mean, you look down sometimes because you don't want to step on something. I have a tendency of looking down because I'm a big animal lover, even of insects. So I want to make sure that I'm not stepping on ants or not killing any little, like, I don't know, crickets or anything like that. And I get it. It's a little extreme, I understand. But for the most part, I like to try to keep my head above. I like to start seeing things around me, and I definitely love to look at the clouds, and I like to look at the sun. And the more I look up, the more up I feel, like the more happy I am. And it's interesting because I find that the more I look down, that's the tendency of me being either depressed or anxiety ridden or stressed out. And I think a lot of us have a tendency of looking down when we walk into a public place and we don't know what to think. We don't know anybody, we're stressed out, but better yet, most of us look actually at our cell phone. So instead of looking down, we've created this new thing that's our cell phone. So we're like walking around like this all the time, just looking around all the time like this. And you don't even see other people. And I can't tell you how many things I've probably missed in my life based on the fact that I was looking at my phone. I mean, how interesting is the phone? I mean, nothing's changed. And even if your buddy texts you something, what are they really texting you? LOL, sending you pictures of like fat cats, sending you pictures of children, sending you pictures of what they ate that day. For God's sakes, I don't care what your meal looked like. You know, it's not that interesting. And I'll tell you one thing else. It's not interesting at all when it comes to my life. When it comes to my life, I want to see everything. I want to do things. And the last thing I want to look at is Tom's lunch from the other day at the Thai restaurant. I could care less. I mean, really. And I've had a tendency of actually standing there looking at this stuff, engrossed in it. And it's like I lose hours of my time looking at Tom's food. Or I lose hours of my time looking at whatever. And I mean, I think some of the little dog pictures are cute and people's dogs all dressed up or whatever it is. That's kind of cute. But you know what? It's about being a sideline spectator. Why don't you go on and out there and live your life? If you go out there and live your life, you might actually find some happiness. And it begins with getting your head out of the phone and getting your head off of looking at the ground. My last question for this hour for you, for the Perspectives Quiz of Happiness, is I'm asking about your friends. Do you have a lot of friends? Do you have friends that you can trust? Do you have friends that you like to hang out with? And better yet, do you have friends that like to hang out with you? And do you have friends that actually like to do things that you like to do? Because that's the key here. That is the key, because a lot of times we choose people out of the fact that we believe that they need to be this way. They need to have this kind of money. They need to have this kind of success. They need to do this. They need to drive that. They need all this stupid, stupid, stupid stuff. But it breaks down to the fact is, what kind of friends do you have? Do you have friends that you can spend time with? Do you have friends that care about you? Think about it. Do you care about people? Do you have people that you can call and talk to and explain to them how you're feeling or talk to them about your day? Do you have friends that you can go do stuff with? Do you have friends that you can actually go out to the park with or go to a museum with or go running or riding a bike? Do you have friends like that? And there's one big contention with happiness is that I realize that people that are happy have a lot of good friends. And better yet, if they don't have a lot of good friends, they have a really good family connection. And it's important because if we don't have support, we feel alone. When we feel alone, we feel unsafe. When we feel unsafe, we feel as though the world is unsafe. When we watch more news and we see how unsafe they portray the world to be, we get scared. When we get scared, we get isolated. When we isolate, we stay at home. When we stay at home, we focus on all the negative that's going on. And we have a tendency of not making friends, not going out, and not doing the things we need to do to have a well-rounded human existence. And I caution you right now because there's a lot of things going on right now to keep you there. Because it's easier to keep a bunch of people scared in their home. It's easier to keep a bunch of people scared in their home, not knowing what they should do, not knowing if everything's safe, you know, scared about everything they eat and everything they do and everybody they come into contact with. It's a lot easier to keep them on the couch, not thinking about making decisions, not speaking up. But better yet, I'll go to another extreme for you. The more we focus on this stuff, the less that we are able to fulfill our purpose. And the more off target our lifestyle and our lifetime becomes. The last thing you want to do is be at old age and realize that all your concern were on things that were out of your control, but better yet, things that you had no idea of why they were happening. I mean, sure, we can watch the news and they can tell you some things, but is it true? Do you know it to be true? And you know, a lot of times we don't know why things happen because we're not privy to it. And I think the best thing for us to do is to be able to deal with our own life and control what we can. And the things that you can control in your life is your happiness, which is key. Only you can be happy. Nobody else can make you happy. Nobody can love you enough to make you happy. Nobody can be the coolest friend and make you happy, period. You have to be happy within yourself. And the ways that you go by doing that is realizing, one, how precious life is. Two, seeing the small things and realizing how beautiful they are, like the rain, like the flowers, like the butterflies, like the sun, like stopping to smell the roses. But it's also putting in perspective what you can handle, what you can't handle, and better yet, what is there to get you off target. I've watched a lot of shows before, especially the news, and I've sat there for hours at a time thinking about who did this and who did that and who's in part of that and what country's behind this and all this stuff. And you know what? It didn't get me anywhere in my life. It got me absolutely zero in my life. What it did is it made me realize that I had more questions than answers. It made me realize that I didn't really know the big picture. It made me realize that in order to really know what's really going on, I would need to go to 5 to 7 to 15 to 20 publications and then watch the news from all over the world and then cross-feed that and then divide that up and take these pieces of this and that piece of that and that piece of that and that piece of that and put it all together and come up with something, right? But what does that do for you? It takes away from your life. It takes away from your purpose. And bigger than that, it takes you off target. So when you're thinking about your happiness right now, when you're thinking about your happiness tonight, think about what you can do to make yourself happy. Think about the things that make you happy and do it. As long as it's not hurting other people, you're fine. And remember, from now on out, you can definitely check us out on Twitter at Ashley Burgess, at Ashley B-E-R-G-E-S, Ashley Burgess, on Facebook at Ashley Burgess, as well as Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, which is a cool thing. We're here on this YouTube channel at Ashley Burgess. And for more information, you can definitely check out AshleyBurgess.com, B-E-R-G-E-S.com, as well as the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, and get more information and listen to us 24/7. Also, check us out on Spreaker and tell us what you want us to talk about. I look forward to hearing from you. And remember that happiness is within you. And on Perspectives, there's always more answers and less questions. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in 3 shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. In our first hour, we were talking about how to be happy and how to know when we truly are happy. And, you know, I want to talk about this quiz that I came up with for Perspectives, because I feel that in order for us to understand what happiness is, we have to kind of figure out a couple of concepts. And I was talking about in the last hour, I was talking about some great ideas about the rain and how a lot of people either love the rain or they hate it. And I believe that when we deal with the rain concept, a lot of us who feel depression or who feel stressed have a tendency of seeing the rain as a downer. And I think that a lot of us prefer to seem to feel up, to have that dynamic of feeling up, to have the sun, to have that energy. And I feel that when we're thinking about how happy we are, we have to kind of put things into perspective. And in the last hour, I talked about how what we watch is so important. When we watch the news, what type of content do we take in? What kind of content are we constantly watching on the news? And I think that when we think about that and we analyze how much of the time we spend watching the news, how much time we spend focused on negative content, we have to really figure out that actually takes a toll on our mental health. And a lot of times we don't know that. And I have clients that come in all the time and talk about how they're feeling depressed, they're feeling upset, they're feeling angry, they can't get out of bed. And you know what? When you're watching the news 24/7, it becomes a problem. And I've actually turned it off. I've had to turn off the news because I've realized that it causes me great stress. You know, so I want to talk about some other ideas besides are you looking down versus are you looking up? I want to talk about the concept that happiness is a state of mind. You know, happiness is definitely a state of mind because when we're happy, we feel happy, we act happy, and we act more at calm, more at peace. And I think this is very important when we're talking about happiness. I think that when we're able to really set aside and realize that we have the ability to choose. Hey, Crystal, how are you doing? It's good to have you here. You know, just to have the ability to choose and be able to understand that we do have happiness as a choice. We can choose it. And I know that sounds simple, but honestly, life is pretty simple when we allow it to be so. And if you have any questions about who I am, I'm a family therapist and counselor and a life coach. And you can check me out on AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. Also, my show runs 7 days a week in California and Texas. And I'm also on a podcast as well. But, you know, we talk about how happiness is a state of mind. So let's think, how does that really work? You know, the first thing is we have to eliminate negative self-talk. That negative self-talk that we're no good, that everybody else is better than us, that there's no way that we're going to achieve this grand awesomeness or this purpose that we feel we should achieve, right? Because everybody else seems to be better than us. They're more equipped. They're more educated. They have a better background. It's like we have to stop putting ourselves down because you know what? We are our worst enemy. And I've done this a lot myself. And you have to begin by realizing the negative self-talk and how you understand what that is you got to slow down the mind. And I know this sounds wild, but negative self-talk is very fast. It's a very quick talk where you're up at night late and your mind is just racing. And it's racing and you're not really thinking about what is the mind saying, what's going in and out, what am I hearing? And so you have to slow down those thoughts slow enough and long enough so that you can actually see the words. And so I've had clients come into my office and say, how do you do that? And I go, well, you know, a lot of times we go, I don't know why I feel bad. I don't know why this is. I don't know. And that's a key answer to a question that a lot of people, I don't know. And the best way to identify that is to begin to realize when you have that negative self-talk. And a lot of times it happens before you're going to bed. It happens a lot of times in the car. We don't even think about it. That's why that music is going on. We don't even pay attention to what's happening to us. But better yet, we act upon this negative talk. And what I'm saying is that, let's say, for example, you get the option for a promotion, okay, at work, let's say, and you're like, okay, this is great, this is awesome, this is perfect, but yet all of a sudden that negative self-talk comes in, well, I'm never going to get it. And you know, so-and-so is probably more educated than me, and so-and-so is more liked than me, and I don't know why I'm even going to go in there for that interview. And a lot of times this happens, so we go on an exit stage right. We exit stage right before they've even talked to us about it. We've already said no to us getting that promotion. And it's interesting because it all goes back to what's going on in the mind. When the mind is telling us things like, we're no good, we're never going to do this well, we've always been bad at this. And the biggest thing that our mind likes to do is to bring up the past. All the mistakes we've ever made, throw them out there, bring up the past. It's like that relative that you get to see in the holidays that will bring up the fact that, you know, you peed in the bed when you were, 5 years old. And the whole family talks about it, you know, over the holidays as you're sitting there eating Thanksgiving dinner. And you're like, really? I mean, I'm in my 30s, I'm in my 40s, I'm in my 50s. And y'all are still talking about the fact that I peed in the bed when I was five. And that's what your mind does to you, is that anytime that you're about to hit greatness, it reminds you of all the unsuccessful ventures, all the unsuccessful ventures that you surrounded yourself with, that you dealt with. And we've all done bonehead things. We've all made bad decisions. We've all hung with the wrong people. You know, we've all done that. It's just part of life. And it's getting over that and realizing when we're putting ourselves down and when we're kind of just talking ourselves down out of being the person we are. You know, the next thing we want to think about is that we want to make our own reality. We want to make our own reality in the fact that we can choose the reality that we want. If there are certain people that bring us down and cause us, you know, negative self-talk, if there's certain people that tend to just, I don't know, kind of put us down every time they get. And a lot of times this can happen without even realizing it. Okay. There's a lot of people that do it in a way that's kind of backhanded, that you don't really hear it coming, okay? So, for example, they always start off with something nice, and then they kind of flip back around. Remember when you did this? And it's always when you least expect it, because you were in a really good conversation. Things were going really well. Life was treating you well. And all of a sudden they bring up something that you did 5-10 years ago that was really stupid. And that's what you have to be aware of, is there are some people out there that want to kind of bring you down. And all you can do about that is either bring it up, explain that you get it and you see it, and hey, well, let's get past this. But the next set of ideas is just to kind of move away. Distance yourself from that person. You know, and it's always interesting when you distance yourself from people like that. Usually, except for if they're a family member, okay, except for they're like if they're a parent or a sibling, usually they'll take off. And it's our duty to allow them to take off. We have a tendency sometimes of holding on to the things we don't need. You know, so-and-so screws you over, so-and-so owes you money, but you know, they show up from out of town from 2 years past, and you're like, oh my gosh, well, I got to go out with them. I got to party with them. Let's all hang out. Well, you know what? That's not a good idea. I don't think that they've grown up that much, and if they have, they're going to have to prove it to you. And I mean, I would have to say 99.9% of the time, they haven't grown up. And unfortunately, they're still playing that same game. They're still playing this on other people, and now you've just let them back into your life. I just recently had somebody call me on the phone last week to invite me to go to a concert. And the concert was one of those great concerts that you're like, wow, really? And you get the phone and you're like, this is awesome. And then you go, oh, but I got to go with them. And so I just responded with, I can't make it, because the last thing I want to do is to reopen that door and spend time with somebody that made my life miserable. And it wasn't that they just made my life miserable. I made my life miserable by spending time with them, by thinking I could change them, by thinking things would get better, by thinking that life is going to, it's going to miraculously change them, and they're going to become this great, heartful person that has all this, you know, this ability and really thinks about others and gives back to charity and does charity work and feeds the homeless. Okay. Most of the time that doesn't happen. And unfortunately, we open our hearts and we open our lives to the people that sometimes don't need to be there. And sometimes we overlook the people that actually could be there, that could help us, that could actually strengthen us. But instead, we let these other folks in. So if you're dealing with some of these folks right now that kind of need to exit stage right, the best thing to do is to stop as much communication with them as possible. I mean, slow down the communication, stop it from your end. You know, don't invite it in. And every time they call, just kind of, you know, leave a text. Hey, I'm too busy right now, but I'll get back with you. If they invite you to something, hey, I'd love to. You know, I'm sure there's somebody else that can make it, but I'm not going to be able to make it. And just keep shuffling over. Shuffle to the right. Let them go. Okay? Because eventually they're going to get bored. Eventually they're going to go find someone else that they can do whatever they want to do with, wreck their life, spend time with. But you know, even if it's a little lonely at the time, because sometimes we allow these people back into our life because we're a little lonely, because we need a friend. But they're not a friend. Okay? I would rather be by myself, eat by myself, watch a movie by myself every night than let some of these people in, because I've done it again and it's burned me every single time. And so what I'm advocating right now is remember to be healthy and make strong decisions when it comes to choosing your friends, and definitely when it comes to choosing a lover or a mate, because this is a big time role for somebody and they can make or break your life with their issues. If you have somebody that's coming to you with a lot of issues all the time, that's going to weigh you down. It's going to put a lot of weight on you and a lot of stress. When we return, I'm going to be talking more about how we make our reality, how we can choose, but better yet, how we can overcome our past. To hear any past shows, go to AshleyBurgess.com. Also go to Spreaker with an R, Spreaker with an R, and go to Ashley Burgess. Stay tuned. We got a great segment for you coming up in Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about happiness. How happy are you, really? And a lot of us really don't think about that kind of stuff. We don't really think about how happy we are. We just think about happiness in general. Are you happy? Am I happy? Is any of us happy? Do any of us care? Now, for the most part, we think about this kind of stuff. And when we think about this, we really put it into perspective. You know, we were talking earlier about how happiness is a state of mind. And how we make our own reality. And honestly, happiness is a state of mind. And the people that we choose to spend time with is part of that. If we are choosing people to spend time with who are very negative, who spotlight the problems, who constantly see the issues, who are constantly pronouncing the issues that you have, who are constantly putting you down, then you are picking poorly. And you know, one other thing, I've seen a lot of people recently choosing the wrong people to date. Think deeply before you bring somebody into your life that may not have the same values as you have. Besides that, may not care as much as you. They might not care about the relationship as much as you, and they may end up hurting you. But besides that, I recently spent time with several different couples. And it's weird because some of these people choose people that are the exact not good opposite. Like some of the most happy, joyful people, I mean, inside and out, pick people that literally, I mean, God bless, they're just so negative. And it's interesting because the people that chose them are like, yeah, well, you know, they're going to get better and probably being around me. But you know what? You can't change people. Just because we don't like the way somebody's acting, or just because we feel like we can smother them with love and change their entire mode of operando, that is, guess what? That is ego. That is our ego out there shouting out, yeah, girl, I'm in charge. This is great. Yeah, we're going to get those people to change because we know who they're supposed to be. But a lot of times there's no way they're going to change. And in the process of you trying to change them, they're going to change you because it's going to start rubbing off a little bit. You know, we do make our own reality. I've been recently watching some stuff on the news. And I've been recently watching some stuff on the internet. And it's interesting how people can take one stand or another, and people can choose to see the world as a scary place full of murderers and kidnappers and bad people. And some people see the world as a very happy, safe place where their kids can walk to school, where people are allowed to have a job and a career that they like, where they can go hiking on the weekends, where they can take the dog for a walk at night. Well, I mean, think about it. Some people live in complete and utter fear, while other people in that same neighborhood living right next door are at complete peace. And I know there's some areas and some issues where people do live in an area with a lot of drama that causes fear. And I know some people might not have an option to get out of there, but if you do have the option to move, it will behoove you because life is short. I recently had a friend of mine who was living in an area that, you know, it was, his place was nice. He actually spent quite a bit of money on the place to rent every month. But it was in an area that was surrounded by a lot of drama. There was crime happening a lot. There was a lot of drug dealing going on. And I kept telling him, I was like, you know, you're kind of down and you're kind of depressed and you see the world as kind of an angry place. And I think a little bit of that is based on the fact that you live in a place that's just kind of dramatic and a lot of issues going on, and somebody's always going to jail in your complex and someone's always getting busted for drugs. It just kind of doesn't seem like a place I would personally want to live. And on top of that, it's not near anything. He's a bike rider and there was nowhere to ride a bike. You had to ride, I mean, it's in the streets. And he recently had to move out of necessity because He downgraded on his job, and so he couldn't afford the rent, so he was able to sublease his place to someone else and rent another place in another area. And this place that he's rented, this new, smaller apartment, is right next to the lake, right next to a bike trail, and he's a biker. He's a bicycle enthusiast. It's right next to the bike trail. There's water and swans and stuff like that. His entire mode of operandi has changed in the last 2 weeks. After 6 or 7 years of living in the same place, of being down with his life, of being depressed, not knowing why, and every time we said he should move, he would argue. He would fight. I don't want to move. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I said, you know what? You will feel so much better if you go somewhere where there is something to do. And I'm not talking about going to drink. In the old place, he was right next to a club. I'm talking about somewhere where you can get outside and move around and get outside of that dark studio and go and do something. And he is a different person right now. And we do make our own reality by our choices. When I was looking for offices a year and a half ago, I saw a bunch of places, and a lot of these places were huge offices, and they only had one window. They had one window in the front because it was a long, like, warehouse studio type place. And I knew in my heart of hearts that that would be a really bad choice. To not have windows, to not see the outside, to not have access like that, I knew it would get to me eventually. And I chose wisely when I chose, but I only think about the fact if I would have chosen those other aspects and those other options, I would have been miserable. I would have been miserable because it wouldn't have made me feel good. It would have made me feel more trapped. And I recently went into a home the other day that's for sale. And a person I know has put it up on the market. And this house, I think, is at $3.5 million. It's like 10,000 square feet. It's in a gated community where a lot of football players live. And I stood in there and the place was immaculate and everything was hardwoods and molding and crown molding and crown molding on top of crown molding on top of other crown molding. Never seen anything like it. And as I stood there, there was like a feeling I had and I couldn't put my finger on it. And it wasn't until I left there that I realized I felt like I was in a cage. The place was so big and so quiet and so opulent and so detached from everything that even if you gave me that house, I wouldn't want to live there. I wouldn't. I would not want to live there. I just feel like it was just definitely not a place that I could live. Because I felt so detached from humanity. The fact that the house is inside of a gated community that has another gate in front of it, that it's too much. And a lot of us separate ourselves from society and then wonder why we're so lonely. We don't understand why are we so lonely? Why are we going through this? Why is this happening to me? Why am I lonely? God, why? Well, okay, we bought a house in a gated community that's behind another gate that's 10,000 square feet that has a fence that goes all the way around it. That's why we're lonely. That's part of it. We choose to separate ourselves from other people. I would much rather have an apartment down in the middle of the city where people are walking by it every single second of the day instead of living up there and feeling so despondent and so divided from the rest of society. I like interaction. I like meeting people. I like meeting new people. I love seeing people. I love getting to know people. And I love just interaction. I love camaraderie. And I'm not going to get camaraderie living in a 10,000 square foot home behind a gate that's in another gate that's in a gated area. The same thing is I'm not going to get a lot of camaraderie and I'm going to feel a little isolated in that studio out there in downtown with one window. And you have to think about it. What life have you created? No matter how opulent it is, how do you feel about your life? How happy are you right now? Are you happy with your choices? Or are you discouraged by your choices? When we return, we'll be talking about how we choose, and then better yet, how we can overcome our past. Stay tuned. By the way, AshleyBurgessNetwork.com is up and running. AshleyBurgessNetwork.com is up and running. AshleyBurgess.com also has the latest blogs and awesome stuff on there you can check out. And stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about how happy are you? You know, the Perspectives quiz here. And in the first hour, we were really talking about things from, do you look up? Do you look down? Are you constantly looking at your feet? Are you constantly looking on the phone? How many friends do you have? And how many friends do you actually hang out with and spend time with? We talked also about, do you watch news a lot? How much news are you intaking on a daily basis? And how do you feel about the rain? And in this last hour, we've been talking about how happiness is a state of mind. Because when you start changing up those things and you realize that rain is beautiful and you start seeing it for the wonder it is, when you realize that the news isn't always there for you and you realize that when it bleeds, it leads, you begin to realize that that might not be necessarily what you need to be taking in constantly all the time. You might actually start putting limitations on that, which would be a good idea for you to keep your sanity and keep your positive attitude. You know, when you realize that you've been looking down a lot or you're constantly looking at the phone and everywhere you go, you got that phone right there and you're looking at it. That, to me, is a heads up that you can change this. You can change this. This is a state of mind. You can have that state of mind to watch the news, to be inundated by negative content. You can have that state of mind to be upset when it rains. And yet the one time I am upset when it rains, and I'll tell you, the one time that gets me a little bit is when you go on a beach vacation and you save up and you wait for years to go and it rains the whole time. Yes, yes, okay. So there you are. I'm not Pollyanna. It's not all about how great the world is, but that's my one time that the rain gets on my nerves, especially if it's like a hurricane or something. That's just, come on. But other than that, I like the rain. And I like to look up, and I like to have this state of mind where I realize that if I smile long enough and I look at my smile long enough, guess what? I'm going to believe it. I like that too. I like being my own person. I like the fact that I can do this. I like the fact that I'm allowed to choose. And I like the fact, better yet, that no one can talk me into anything different. We all have the right to choice. When we enter this world with choice. Every single step of the way we take is a choice. Every single person we hang out with, every single person we choose not to hang out with, every single thing we see on TV, every single thing we choose not to watch on TV, every single song we allow ourselves to hear, every single time we turn off the radio and meditate, again, is our choice. Anytime that we decide to get mad, anytime we decide to get happy, also our choice. Interesting. Starting to see a pattern here, aren't we? We have the choice. Like, I like it when people come in here and go, she made me so mad. Well, no, she didn't make you mad. You made yourself mad. I mean, I get it. She might have been ugly, and she might have been a word that I can't use right now on this show, but you know what? You made yourself mad the way that you dealt with it. And my biggest question to you at this point is, why do you spend time with somebody that makes you mad? Aha! Ooh, booyah! We're in there! Why do we spend time with somebody that makes us mad? The only reason we would spend time with somebody that makes us mad is if we had to, if we thought we had to. If they were family, we didn't know how to deal with it. Or we don't have anybody else to go to, we don't have any other friends, or we like the drama. And if we don't have any other friends, holding on to that one that you don't really get along with is not that great of an idea. It's like if you really, really don't like your job and you have enough money to float for a few months, and instead of being able to look for a new job, you're having to work that job you hate, but you know that if you spent just a few weeks actually going out there and hitting the pavement, you could find something you like, but you're not doing it because you're working the other job. That's idiotic. It's time to, you know, part ways, move on, and go look for another job. The same thing is with that friend. That friend's probably holding your back, but it's not the friend holding your back. It's you holding yourself back. Because it is. We make the choice to spend time with them. I have somebody that's been calling me recently to want to hang out. And you know what? I don't want to hang out with them. Every time I hang out with them, I'm out more money. And I'm out more time. And I'm starting to realize how important my time is. I'm starting to realize how important my time is. And how happier I've become by choosing what I want to spend my time doing. And let me explain to that. Choosing what I spend my time doing. When I choose to spend my time doing something that I love, I feel elated. On the other hand, When I do something to go through the motions because I have to, because I've selected it, because at one time or another I thought it was a great idea, I'm not so happy about it. I recently had a situation that almost put me into the hospital by going to a meeting that I probably didn't need to be at. Oftentimes, we put ourselves in positions when we don't need to be there. And I recently resigned posts from an organization that I was working with. And I love the organization. It's great. But I just realized that my time was too precious. And we didn't see complete eye to eye. And I also realized that their needs were different from my needs. And even though we might like each other to some degree or another, my time is so precious, I don't have time to do that. It's not that I don't have time, I don't want to take the time to do that. Again, we can make our own choice. Every day when someone asks you, can you do this? Nobody says, do it now, unless it's at work, and that's your deal at work. But when it's not about your boss telling you what to do or you yourself telling yourself what to do, you have a choice. And what I like to talk about is making that educated choice. So sometimes we agree to do things without understanding what the perimeters are and what we need to do to make it happen. So think about it. What are the perimeters? What do we need to do to make it happen? What needs to be done? And as long as you find out all that information in the beginning, you can now make an educated decision if you decide to go follow through with it or not. Otherwise, for example, I'm sure many of you have been in the position where the student group or the PTA or what have you has asked you if you can participate in the help with a carnival. And your kids are in school and you say, yeah, I can help with the carnival. That's fine. What do I need to do? Oh, just making some pamphlets for the carnival and, maybe putting together some baked goods. But it's simple. And you agree to it and everything. And the next thing you know, the next day rolls around and you get an email from the drill sergeant mom in charge that dictates the 15 points of light about what you'll be doing at the carnival. And the process of the carnival and how you'll be spending 2 weeks prior to the carnival every night meeting up for 3 hours a night to discuss direction, to work on PR ability, to figure out who's going to bake what. And then the day before the carnival, you need to be there 12 hours early setting up. And then you got to be there the entire carnival and then after to break down. Not you personally breaking down, but to break down the set and everything at the carnival. Had you known that, would that be what you would have chosen? And I'm not saying that some of you wouldn't have chosen it, because some of you would have said, hey, it's for my kid and I want my kid to have the best and I want to be there. And I know there's not a lot of people going to step up to the plate, so I'm going to do it. And I totally respect that. And God bless you for that. But some of you don't have the time. Some of you are working a job that's 14, 16 hours a day. Some of you might be working two jobs. Some of you might be working a job and going to night school to get your master's, your doctorate. And so you just accepted this. Now what do? You're stuck. Because you don't want to be the person that says, I can't make it. You feel bad. You don't want to be that person that drops the ball. It's your kid. So what do? You go through the motions and you do it. And every single day closer to that carnival, you get more and more angry. You get more and more resentful. And eventually you break down. Or it takes you out of the game for participation across the board. And you decide that you're not going to do that anymore. And I think that really, honestly, if you would have been knowledgeable and known exactly what you're getting into, you could have talked to that lady in the very beginning and said, yeah, I definitely want to have participation. But this is all I can do right now because this is my schedule. But this is something. And that's what I'm talking tonight. We can choose to be happy, but when we choose things that take our time and get in the way of our life and living, it becomes a problem. We have to figure out and make positive, smart choices. You know, on perspectives, always more answers, less questions. Check out the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, www.AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. Check out the AshleyBurgess.com website. And you know what? Get some extra perspective. By the way, Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about how happy are you? We've been doing questions from the Perspectives quiz. And in this last hour, we've been talking about how happiness is a state of mind and how we make our own reality. And we can actually choose things. We can choose to be happy or we can choose to not be happy. And I know that sounds simple, but it's true. I mean, we've all been in bad situations that we've had to overcome. And in that process, we've learned a lot. And a lot of times it always puts me into perspective when things are maybe not going right to a certain degree. I look back at some of those times and I realize where I am now and how much better things are. And with that glimmer, it puts perspective. And you know, we can overcome our past. And I think that's something that a lot of us are dealing with is our past. Our past is holding us back to a degree. We feel as though our past is causing us problems. And we feel as though our past is what keeps us from being happy. And you know how many people I hear that on a daily basis? I've had clients come in here and say that their girlfriend cheated. And I said, okay, when? And they're like, oh, not this one. 5 years ago it happened. And I said, and you haven't gotten over it yet? No. Well, we got to work on that. Because if your girlfriend cheated 5 years ago and you're no longer with that person, and you've gone through two new girlfriends and you're on to someone else right now that doesn't seem to have an inclination to cheat, if we keep thinking that that person's going to cheat on us, eventually we're going to make something happen or we're going to create it in our own mind. When we create things in our own mind, things happen. The other day, I thought it was funny. Greg was looking into the weather, and we were talking about taking a trip to the Caribbean. And it's been a long time coming since we've been there. And we booked the flights. And all of a sudden, after we booked the flight in the hotel, Hurricane Erica comes around. And I'm like, man, what is the timing on this? Oh my gosh, this is awful. Well, he's laughing. He's like, well, we're not going to be there for that. We're not going there for a while after that. So, you know, he goes, the only thing we have to worry about is that there's a Hurricane Fred that comes our way. And I go, what? And he goes, Hurricane Fred. Wouldn't that be a good name for a hurricane? 2 days later, I get a text message from him at work. And he sends me a picture and the underlining thing says Hurricane Fred. I said, please be aware of what we create. There are certain things that we create in our life. There are certain things that we have that come to pass because we've created it. We think about it. We toil on it. We have it in the forefront of our mind. And everything we do, we think about it. We can't overcome our past, though. Some of us have pasts that are very interesting. And some of us have pasts that are very different from where we are now. And our past, in a way, defined ourselves and defines us now, because we wouldn't be able to know what we know if we hadn't gone through it. You know, when I talk to certain counselors and therapists, and they'll be dealing with a client and a patient that they don't understand, and a lot of times I look at them and I say, you really need to find somebody that the patient can communicate with, because if you've never been through this and you've never experienced this, besides textbook therapy, you really don't get to the heart of the matter. For example, you know, a client that comes in and father took off and father doesn't want to be a part of the daughter's life and all that good stuff. And the daughter's heartbroken and starts going out, spending time with the wrong men, getting into bad relationships, all that stuff. It's not until that girl actually meets someone that's been through that and gone over to the other side. So let me get this straight. It's not someone that just went through the process, the dad dumps the daughter, and the daughter deals with it. What it has to go through is this. You have to have closure, or you have to make it successful. It's like that whole deal when you deal with coaches out there. And there's a lot of coaches out there that consider themselves love coaches and marriage coaches. And that's great, but how long have you been married and how strong is your marriage? And to me, life is like that. If I'm going to take advice and I'm going to believe in somebody, I'm going to take advice from the right person. I'm not going to take advice from somebody that's been married 5 times, but what I am going to take advice is someone that's had a marriage for a long time, that's had a lot of ups and downs, and that's made it work. And they know how they made it work. And they changed things because they figured out how to do it. That's what I want to learn from. And I think in life, when you realize that we can all overcome our problematic past, but not only just push it under the rug, we can expose it and use it to our advantage. We take an unhappy situation and make it into a positive one. You know, I went through that process with my dad when I was younger, and my dad and I are now friends, and we're now better than we ever were. But it took years of us not speaking. And it took a lot of time and a lot of patience, and we built up a relationship. And I figured it out. And so that's why I was able to counsel people, even on national TV, how to do that. And so, you know, think about it. You can overcome your past because you learned a lot. Now take that past, take the good nuggets of it, spin it the way you need to, and figure out how to be happy. Because happy isn't elusive. It's not an elusive thing. It's not hiding behind a corner. It's not trying to avoid you. It's not angry with you. It's not hiding. It doesn't have a mask on. It's in you. And we choose ourselves to be happy. I've chosen to be unhappy in the past, and I've chosen to be happy, and I choose to stay happy. And there's some times where you might get a little miffed. You might go through a little anger. But what I hope for that point is that you qualify it. Basically, rev back down, park the car, take the keys out of the ignition, take a breath, breathe, reconnect, and start again. The worst thing I think people say is when they say, well, the day couldn't get any more worse. Well, when you're thinking that way, it's definitely going to get a lot worse. It's like we make our own reality. It's like any time that somebody asks you how your day's going, you go, oh, it's awful. Just can't even get any more worse. It's going to be so bad. This day's so bad. It just gets worse. Even if it doesn't really get that worse, you see it as worse. I mean, I've had people sit there and say, well, I should have just gone back to bed. Well, you know what? I hate to say it, but with that attitude, you probably should. Something bad's going to happen. I don't want to take the risk of standing next to you. But on the flip side, we can look at these situations and we can learn from them. And I want to give you a nugget of truth that I just realized a few weeks ago. With all your kids going back to school, I'm sure a lot of you have kids that are going back to school. They're already back in school or they're about to be back in school. And so the back to school time is a good time for us to get back into the groove, to get back into this formula that we have, this sense of direction and a sense of structure. But more than that, even if you're not going to school and it's just your kids going to school, or even if you don't have kids and you're not going to school, I realize that if we look at every hour of our day as a class, think about it. If you look at every hour of the day as a class, and you look at that from a class perspective, and you look at it from how you were back in school, and I like the idea of an imaginary classroom. And so think about your favorite classroom as a kid. Think about your favorite classroom as a kid. My favorite classroom was Mrs. Jackson's classroom. And so I remember the big desk, and I remember our desk, and I remember our chairs, and you know how the desk was connected to the chair, and it had like that metal connection, and it was like a plastic red chair, plastic blue chair, green, whatever. And so I remember that. So every hour now of my day, I look as a class. What am I learning? How am I learning? What can I explore? And in a classroom, you know what's so cool? There's no wrong answers. There's just unasked questions. And so when you start visualizing your life as a class, guess what? It changes the whole dynamic. It doesn't matter if you say the perfect thing, because who cares? You're in class. And it allows you to be open-minded, and it allows you to take a different stance, and it allows you to gain some more ground, and it allows you to learn. And guess what? It allows everybody else to learn, because it's not a stressful situation. And better yet, guess what? It works. Because you stop thinking about what you have to say, and you're listening to what they have to say. And as you're listening to other people talk, it just comes to you, because the right thought comes to you because you're in the right state of mind. If you take every hour of your day like a class, you're going to be happy for the rest of your life. If you take every hour of your day as a class, you're going to be impressed by the amount of stuff you learn. You're going to be impressed by the way you handle everything, and even the most difficult of people. Even the most difficult people, you will be able to embrace. And they might not want to hug you, but you're going to want to hug them. They might be the porcupine, but you know what? You're going to see the goodness, and you're going to see also, well, you know what? I don't really want to spend time with that person, but that was cool. But every hour of the day is a class, and you're going to learn the secrets of the universe, and you're also going to realize when you step back that you're the happiest you've ever been. You know, I do perspectives because I like to help people, I like to encourage knowledge, and I like to help people have an informed, authentic voice. I look forward to hearing from you. You can contact me at ashleyburgess.com, ashleyburgess.com. Go to the contact page, click on that contact page, and go on and fill out that form and send it to me, and I will contact you. You will not be on any sort of list. You will not get any sort of third-party offers. This is just to Ashley B., me, myself, and I. Also, check out AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of Ashley Burgess Perspectives. You listen anytime, anyplace, anywhere, anytime. Also, remember that Perspectives is always, what? Always has more answers, less questions. Never fear-based. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. You got it. Three shakes.